Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Human Rights Demand. This is New Vision Organization, NVO, and we are so honored to have with us a special guest from New Vision Organization. How are you today? Hello?
Hello?
Every man, woman, and child on this earth are born free and equal in dignity and rights. We are brothers and sisters of the world, and it's our job to use our brains and conscience to work things out the best we can.
Article 2. Everyone is entitled to the rights set forth in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, whether you believe in Buddha, Jesus, or Muhammad. It doesn't matter what language you speak, whether you're rich or poor, or which political party you may vote for. All of us, big or small, are the same in the eyes of this declaration.
Article 3. Every person has the right to live. Every person has the right to be free and the right to feel safe.
All right. That's the beginning of the declaration. That's the International Declaration of Human Rights. We have today a special guest. Hello, how are you today? 5309.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
This is Senator Sabina Stenberg from the Silverhead Legislature of Massachusetts, also the National Silverhead Congress of Washington, D.C. This is for the elderly. I'm calling in.
We're so glad to have you join us today. Thank you so much for joining.
All right, Mary. I would like to discuss today, if I can, about mental health issues. And it's an ongoing thing in every state of the United States. There's not enough funding. The hospitals are becoming jails now. Instead of the jails holding convicts, they're coming into, rather the jails are becoming mental hospitals because hospitals are closing down. And there's not enough of services for the mentally ill, whether that is for teenagers who are out killing crazy today and getting guns and being over-medicated or not medicated and not being overlooked by a guardian. And that goes also for people that are mentally ill being put into housing that are supposed to have caseworkers and watching that they take the medicines on time, which is not true, and they're left on their own, and they're forgotten. And then you take the elderly, which I work very close with, who have dementia or Alzheimer's, and they're dying. They're over-medicated, and meanwhile, there's nobody controlling the medicines. And the whole system, it should be all changed from the president right down to the babies. And it's not. Mental health is a very bad issue in this country. And it's going to be the ruination if they don't take care of it. I'm also a substance abuse counselor, which with taking marijuana or with taking drugs affects the brain and it makes you sick. And these kids' parents don't understand mental health sickness. And the public has to be educated more. The high schools have to put it in the curriculum. I'm a high school teacher. And there should be in the curriculum somewhere that all high school students should be learning about mental health and how it affects us and what to be aware of, and how to work with people that are mentally sick. They don't understand mental sickness when it comes their way, or a mentally ill person. That goes for the police force. A lot of the police haven't been trained. It's only lately they're starting to teach them that about mental sickness. And a lot of them are veterans that come out of the service that the police get very confused. So rather than arrest them, they get confused and they feel if they reach in their pocket, they're reaching for a gun, they kill them. And the whole system is awful. We have to change it. The police force, the schools, the parents, every issue should come down to train all these people because it's out of hand. And if we do it, it starts, everything they say starts in the home. And this is where it begins. And people should learn about it. Mental sickness is something they didn't want to touch for years. I had two brothers come home from the service, and they had mental breakdowns and were put in locked wards in the veterans' hospitals. There they died. I mean, why? No. They died because they didn't know how to really, all they gave them was medicine. They needed more therapy. They don't get enough of therapy. These veterans today, my husband died of post-traumatic stress from the Second World War. They didn't even know how to treat it then. They never recognized it. It's only now, 50 years later, they're starting to recognize it. Families were ruined by it because it really ruined the families because these fathers who became fathers should not have become fathers, and they did, and the children didn't know how to accept the fathers for their behavior, and neither did the wives. We have to, with the service, in the jails, in the high schools, in the homes, in the churches, every place. Mental illness is a very bad issue. And America better wake up because you know something? We're going down the chute very fast if we don't save our country. I am an American. I would do anything for the United States of America. I gave my two brothers in the service. I still have another brother in a nursing home. There again in the nursing home. They're not treated right. They're neglected. The younger people don't know how to treat these mentally ill people. They shove them aside, disregard what they're saying. I mean, come on. Where is the money going? Let's change everything. And I hope the President of the United States hears this conversation. Mary, is there anything else you'd like me to mention? Or have I said it all? And the babies, born with all these diseases, we need more research. My granddaughter just had a baby. She's MS, and no cure. My daughter's got Parkinson's. No cure. I mean, these are all forms that leads to the brain and causes brain damage, and by the time it does, nothing can be done. My two nephews were born with PKU. It's a long medical word. And the second one just died now. He was over 50. My sister had to care for those two children all their life, carry them, wash them, clean them, because they couldn't do it in a place. She took care of them herself. And one is laying in a funeral home in Maryland, waiting to get buried because there's too many, he's being buried in the military cemetery, and there's too many soldiers, over 40 a day, waiting to get into that cemetery in Maryland. I mean, our boys are coming home in boxes, coffins. Come on, what's happening here? Why don't we get with it? We all have a right to take a stand, and we should all take a stand. What are people afraid of? The Lord said, fear not. Fear not. And this is our country. It's the greatest country in the world. I would do anything for my country. And that's why I do the work. I'm a volunteer worker all these years, over 40 years, working with the mentally sick. I was the president of Cerebral Palsy in Quincy, Mass. I also was the vice president of the Kidney Foundation. I mean, we got the dialysis machines in. Where were all the volunteer workers today? Where is everybody? I don't know. Illegal immigrants are coming into the country and taking all the jobs away from our children. putting the same politicians in. I ran for public office, putting the same people in over and over again. Let's have a change. And I mean a change. If they're not doing the job, impeach them, get them out. That's what a company did years ago. They fired you if you didn't do your job. So let's get with it. The Lord loves us.
Well,
we're all God's
wonderful
children.
That's wonderful, Ms. Sabina, and I agree with you that if our elected and appointed officials do not do the job that they are elected or appointed, then it is certainly time for a change. But I want to encourage you today that we have a representative, Tim Murphy. He is out of the state of Pennsylvania. He has introduced a bill in Congress, and it's before the U.S. Congress right now, and it's called H.R. 3717, Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. Now, I'm going to give you real quickly four provisions of that bill, and you, as a woman coming out of a family who had mentally ill relatives who had PTSD from the war, I want you to tell me if these four provisions, if you feel that they would have helped your brothers. Number one, the bill provides for inpatient treatment. You know, they closed down the hospitals. They downsized hospitals. Number one, because they withdrew Medicaid insurance for inpatient treatment. And that's why there are so few mental hospitals now. Also, a second thing is that psychotropic drugs are better now than they were years ago. But those drugs are oftentimes not reaching the ones who have serious mental illness who would benefit by them. Okay, so this bill provides for Medicaid insurance for inpatient treatment. The second thing it provides for is AOT programs. AOT programs provide food and housing, that's subsistence assistance, and mandated psychiatric treatment. In other words, there are a great many people with serious mental illness who do not recognize their own need for treatment. And so if they're asked, would you like treatment, they'll say no, because they do not necessarily see that they have a mental problem, and they do not want to acknowledge it, and they certainly won't seek it out on their own. And so this system we have now has in place something called danger to self and others. Unless a person with serious mental illness proves to be a danger to self and others, they won't get treatment until they prove, usually through balance, that they are dangerous. So we disagree with that. We like the idea that people who have serious mental illness, especially before they're let out of prison or let out of hospitals, that they should be put in an AOT program so that they don't wind up homeless on the street, so that they have decent meals, and so that they also have their continued psychiatric treatment. And the third provision of the bill, you touched on that when you were talking today, Ms. Sabrina, and that is that police officers and prison guards would get CIT training. CIT training is crisis intervention training. They would learn how to arrest the mentally ill without harming them. They would learn how to contain the mentally ill who are already under incarceration without harming them. And police officers, like you said, do not get adequate training in dealing with mental problems, even though over half of our prison population are mentally ill people, 1.25 million. And the fourth provision for H.R. 3717 that I like is a relaxation on the HIPAA standards. HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A. HIPAA standards will keep medical professionals and psychiatric professionals from being able to talk to the family. They can't tell you what they diagnosed your loved one with. They can't discuss the treatment programs with the family. They can't even necessarily tell the family when a person has been harmed behind bars, like they often are, the mentally ill often are, harmed by other inmates or jail guards. They can't necessarily call that family and say, your son or your brother or your husband just had his back broken when an inmate threw him down the steps. They can't necessarily do that because of HIPAA standards. And this bill, H.R. 3717, will relax those HIPAA standards so that family members will be able to know what treatment their family member is getting, and they will also be able to advocate for them because they know. So let me ask you, Ms. Sabina, would any of those provisions that I named have helped your family when your brothers were having a mental health crisis?
Yes. They were in the VA hospital. One was from the Korean War, and the other one was from the Second World War. When they were in there, my mother didn't even know why they had lock ward. She was from Ireland, and she didn't know what a lock ward was. And when we went, I was only young with two babies, and when we went to the hospital, they had all these keys. We were going through doors, through doors, through doors, and my mother said, why do you lock my son up? And they said, we have to. She didn't understand anything about mental illness because they weren't taught it even in Ireland at that time. And I'm sure a lot of countries aren't taught about it. But we in America should set an example. And what it was that when I called up to ask any questions, they said, we can't discuss anything with you because they got withdrawn from the family. And they didn't want the family to know anything about their sickness. So they told the hospital that that's what they wanted. So the hospital got them lawyers from outside, and they were the ones that became the beneficiaries, which is not right either. And they couldn't discuss anything until my both brothers died in the VA, and they called me up and said, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, your brother just died. They were in there for years, nothing. And my mother died not knowing what happened to her sons, why they died. This is the HIPAA, and even today it's a big cough out, because if my brother in the nursing home doesn't get the right food, or he doesn't get this, or we can't discuss it, the HIPAA law, or we can't discuss that. I had to get a lawyer for him to represent him in at the courts because he was a victim of coming from a home with all this mental sickness that he got mentally sick. And my doctor told me when I was younger, you got to get out of your mother's house. I was married, living on the first floor, because mental sickness is like a cobweb. If you get in the middle of it, you can't get out. That's mental sickness, and anybody living with mental sickness will get mentally ill to themselves from the environment and the behavior. So the HIPAA law, the nurses, the doctors, it's a good way of them, a good cop-out, that they don't have to get in a discussion with you, period.
Absolutely.
And the lawyers.
So because of the HIPAA laws, you weren't able to know whether or not your brothers or your brother you still have are eating right according to his diet. You're not able to know what medications he's on. You're not able to
And one was a diabetic, Mary. One was a diabetic. And they let him out. He lived across the street in Brockton, VA. And he was sitting on the bench. The caretaker told me. He saw him. It was in March. And he saw him sitting on the bench outside. He was a diabetic. He came back to work the next morning. My brother's still sitting there. He was frozen to death. He had a diabetic coma. They wouldn't tell me where he lived. I never knew where he lived. So I could look and check up on him.
The caretaker left him sitting on a bench?
Yes. There was a private residence. There was a private residence then. He didn't think anything
goodness.
Was... Well, he didn't know. He was the manager of the bill. He didn't know. He thought he was all right. A diabetic, which I'm one myself, you never know.
You have to go check. What year was that?
He died, I'll look it up, but he died about 20 years ago, over 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. They left him sitting on a bench. See, that's negligence.
He was put out of the Veterans Hospital, and he was supposed to go over there and check in with them, but the HIPAA law protected them. So I couldn't go back on his charts, and I couldn't get any information. He had a lawyer that the VA works with lawyers so they can become the beneficiaries, but they don't handle the funerals and they don't handle anything. They handle only their money. But the HIPAA law protects them.
Thank you for telling us that. And so this is another reason why families who love the person, lawyers don't love you. The families who love the people who are sick are not able to be a part of their medical health care. They're not able to participate in their psychiatric treatment program. They're not able to advocate for the family because they're not informed. And it's the HIPAA laws that are keeping the family members from being informed.
They separate the family from the sick laws. It's a lot of baloney.
Absolutely. And
protects
also,
the lawyers, protects the courts.
What do you think about AOT programs, giving people who have mental health problems subsistence assistance in the form of housing and food and providing for them to have their continued treatment? What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, they had a shelter down here called Father Builds. And the people could come here that were homeless and stay there overnight. They made it a law in the city of Quincy, Mass. They don't want the homeless. They can't stay there unless you're a resident of Quincy. So the homeless are told to go up to the station. There's a train station. Go back where they came from. What happens to these people? Is this going to happen all over the country if you're not a resident? That you're going to go from city to city? And eventually they're going to die.
Absolutely. It's a form of genocide when the mentally ill who can't provide for themselves are denied subsistence assistance, and they usually don't even have the sense of mind to go and get food stamps or to go and apply for housing.
There's a lot of housing available.
And they don't have that. They turn them out of hospitals empty-handed. They turn them out of prisons empty-handed. And then they're back in prison in a few days, or they're back in the hospital if they're lucky. And so this is what AOT programs will stop from happening.
How can they get well, Mary? Mary, how can people get well?
Just a moment, Ms. We want to say thank you so much for joining us on the New Vision organization. You may be cut off in a few seconds. Back and listen to the whole tape because we're going to talk for another 15 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah,
we have another 15 minutes, but it's that the ones who were listening, that computer, they may be shut off now, but the ones who are listening by phone, they can continue to listen, and also they can ask questions if they want to. And furthermore, everybody can come back and get the tape and listen to the whole show. But you go right ahead and let me hear from you. Go ahead.
Okay, Mary. The AOT, that's about patients that are homeless, that I'm a diabetic, very diabetic, and I take the needle 5 times a day, insulin.
Wow.
If you don't get any food in your body, I can tell you all about food because my mother died a diabetic as well as my brother who died in the bench outside the Veterans Hospital. in Brockton, that if you don't get food, food is nourishment. It's not just to take away hunger pains. It's to feed your organs. It's food for your organs, for your blood, for your brain. And if you don't get a right amount of food a day, it doesn't have to be too much. You need protein. You need carbohydrate. You need certain foods to have your body going for a day. And if you don't have that, they even give it now to school in children in school. Because when I was a child in school, I was always fainting. I was a diabetic. But in those days, I'm 83 now, they never knew you were a diabetic. I used to always faint. And the first thing, they'd give me a hot chocolate and crackers, and I was all right. I came back. But you've got to have food in your body. And if these people are using, and they get a blackout, and they don't know where they're at, and they're laying in the street, and they're not getting any food, this is going to make them sicker than ever. And not only brain damage, but physical damage. So, Mr. Tim Murphy, I commend you on this bill. I will work hard here from Massachusetts on it. I hope you hear this tape. But I commend Mary and also my friend Leona from Massachusetts, who has worked very hard with the prisoners. But everybody needs help. The prisoners, the elderly, the young. We all need help. The United States is crying out to you, Mr. President, and to Governor Deval Patrick. Wake up and smell the roses. You know, it's just not a job. It's more than a job. It's a dedication. You got to like people. You're doing God's work. You should be doing God's work. And if you're not, shame on you. Shame on you. Take a stand. And if these politicians don't follow through what you're saying, I say impeach them. Get them out. We don't want Hitler back in our country again.
Hallelujah.
Enough of that. Huh?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Hitler. He exterminated Nazi Germany, started even before Hitler came in office. 300,000 people who were declared mentally ill from age 2 all the way up to elderly. And they exterminated these people because they were building the perfect race. And right now in America, we have many people with serious mental illness who could live viable lives if they were only getting treatment. But do you know that SAMHSA seems to be against these people having AOT programs? And that is the mental health agency of the government. Seems to be against
it. What is it called, Mary? What is it again?
It's called SAMHSA. AMHSA. They seem to be against our severe mental patients getting AOT programs, which would provide for their subsistence assistance, and it would provide for their continued psychiatric treatment that would keep them from being homeless and hungry, and it would keep them from doing things that land them in jail. So why would the government's agency for mental illness be against AOT programs?
Because they're not doing the job, Mary.
Yes.
They're
I believe it's deliberate. I believe they own prison stocks.
They're getting a salary and they're not doing the job. Impeach them. Get them out. Get people in there that really will do the job, that are dedicated. There's
well,
people
there are
who
some
take that
people
job.
That believe it would harm people's civil rights to provide them with subsistence assistance and continued psychiatric treatment. There are some people who say it's a violation of their civil rights to tell them that they must stay under their psychiatrist's care and that they must take their meds. And so this is the excuse that's being used, but we know that people who are very mentally ill are not going to take their meds unless they are under mandated treatment. We know that already. It's been proved to us over and over again, but Even the government agency that is set up to help people with serious mental illness is actually seems to be against AOT. And I just ask everybody to please write your congressperson and let them know to co-sponsor H.R. 3717, and it's called the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. It's before Congress right now. And do you know something? It's doing pretty well in Congress. It has 75 sponsors and co-sponsors. In other words, Dr. Tim Murphy, he was a psychologist before he went into elected office. Dr. Tim Murphy sponsored the bill, and it has 74 co-sponsors the last time I checked. And of those 74, only 24 of them are Democrats.
Well, that's good. Tell me
only 24 of them Democrats when the Democrats always say the Republicans don't care about people suffering? Why are only 24 of them Democrats when the Democrats always try to point out that the Republicans don't care about poor people? Homeless and mentally ill is about as poor as you can get, and the Republicans are the ones who introduced this bill, and they're most of the ones. They make up 50 of the 74 co-sponsors. So I would like to know, why is it that the party that gets credit for caring so much about poor people?
Because I'll tell you why. I ran for politics. That's politics for you. That's politicians. Believe everything you hear. If a person is sincere, they'll put it through. I mean, shame on them if they're Democrats and they're not doing it. It's time for them to get out of office. I don't care. So it doesn't matter. But remember, politics, that's how they do. They play each other and play games with each other. But as far as I'm concerned, not with me. I stand for my rights. Now, Tim Murphy, what is he, a Republican or is he a Democrat?
Yes, ma'am, he's a Republican.
Okay.
50 other Republicans are for helping the mentally ill, and only 24 Democrats have gotten on board so far. So I'm urging all the people in Congress to come on and support H.R. 3717. Don't put in a bill that leaves out the HIPAA changes. Don't put in a bill that leaves out AOT. Don't put in a bill that leaves out training for police officers and prison guards. Don't put in a bill that leaves out Medicaid insurance for people who go into crisis and need inpatient treatment. Don't come with your own bill and leave out one of those things because it would be inadequate. Don't you agree with me?
Mary, I certainly do. Could you send me a copy of that bill?
Yes, I will.
Listen, what is his phone number? Do you know? Tim Murphy?
You mean the phone number for Representative Tim Murphy?
Yeah.
Okay. I will get it for you.
He's in Pennsylvania?
Yes, ma'am. He's a congressperson from the state of Pennsylvania.
What part of Pennsylvania?
As I said, he used to be a psychologist. He knows what people with serious mental illness need. But I was told recently that rather than the Democrats supporting Tim Murphy's bill, they want to introduce their own. And I guarantee you that they will leave out one of those essential elements of the bill. They probably
Never mind them. Let's go with Tim Murphy. This is the bill you like. This is the bill we'll go for, okay? I'm a Democrat, but that doesn't change my mind who I'll vote in and who I'll vote out for, okay? This
All
is
right.
a bill for Democrats and Republicans and from the people. I give him
Absolutely.
Credit for coming out with this. But you need more people like him in Congress. Doctors.
Yes.
They won't run for public office. They don't want to get involved with the bad publicity, okay, of politics and what's going on. That's why most doctors won't go for public office. okay? We need
right.
more doctors to run for public office and
Amen.
More women. We got to get
yes.
them up there that have a good education and an understanding of mental illness.
Yes.
These are the people we got to put in that are educated. Not Joe Blow because his father was a politician. We got to put people there that have a good background, not because he's good looking, not because he kisses the babies and the old ladies. What knowledge does he have? That's what we got to put in office. Mary, you got to get
yes.
where he can be reached so people can call his office. Do you have a phone number?
Yes, I do. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to email you the contact information for Representative Tim Murphy because I believe that you will be a big help to the drive for pushing through H.R. 3717. And I invite everyone else to please go online and look up H.R. 3717, the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. Again, that's called the Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. And you know what? I'm so glad they named it Helping Families because mental illness negatively impacts the whole family, not just the patient.
It's a cobweb, Mary. It's a cobweb like the doctor told me. But once you're in the cobweb, you can't get out. That's mental illness.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on air today and talking to us in the place of Leona Brando. She's out today, but we really enjoyed having you and having your opinions, and I'm so excited that Representative Murphy is going to have your voice helping to push through H.R. 3717, Helping Families in Mental Health Crisis Act. You yourself have a bachelor's degree in psychology, is that right?
In human services. And psychology comes under it. It's psychology. I studied psychology under it. But my BA is in human services.
And so you have worked with the homeless, and you have worked with the mentally ill.
And I have a gerontology. And gerontology, that's studying of aging. I've got that, too.
Wonderful.
I went back to college when I was 60 years of age and got three certificates and one BA. One was
that's
gerontology,
wonderful.
Studying of aging. The other one was for substance abuse, drugs, and alcohol. The other one was for human services, but I've been all over the world, so and I'm a businesswoman in my life.
And
my
I know
family.
That you know what you're talking about. We're out of time now. Will you please join us another day and talk to us some
anytime,
more about
Mary.
Mentally ill?
Anytime, you call me anytime. A friend of Leona's is a friend of mine because
well,
for the great
you.
Work she has done in Massachusetts, let me tell you, for the prisoners, she deserves a big hand, believe me. But she is
well,
a great
person. Thank you
for
joining us today. Thank you, Leona, for sending her to us. And-